This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. In less than 2 weeks, voters across the country will be making a decision about who they want to lead the country, Donald Trump or Kamala Harris. They have both been campaigning nonstop in the run-up to Election Day. Also in less than 2 weeks, voters in 10 states will have the chance to make their voices heard about abortion access in their states. ABC senior Washington reporter Devin Dwyer with more on what's at stake.
If these measures are approved, they would be guaranteeing access in those states up to fetal viability. That's about 24 weeks. And it would be much harder to change the law if it's written into the Constitution. If these amendments are not approved, not passed, and not adopted, then the bans would likely remain in place for some time. So a lot on the line.
An international conference for Lebanon in Paris has raised $1 billion in pledges for humanitarian and military support to help those displaced by the war between Israel and Hezbollah. The U.S. pledging $135 million for Palestinians in Gaza. This is
local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Today in La Crosse, Amtrak is celebrating a milestone for its Borealis line. With more, here's Savannah Tomei Olson.
The new Amtrak line that just launched earlier this year has already had 100,000 riders. The Borealis line goes from Minneapolis-St. Paul to Chicago with stops throughout Wisconsin. La Crosse, Tomah, Wisconsin Dells, Portage, Columbus, Milwaukee, and Sturtevant. People riding on the Borealis line today got a free drink and a 100 grand bar to celebrate the milestone. Now that the route is in operation, it's the first time in 46 years two trains leave from the cities to Chicago every day. The Borealis line just launched in May of this year.
There will be an event this afternoon in La Crosse to celebrate 100,000 passengers. The Wisconsin State Patrol is seeking new troopers across the state. With more, here's Stuart J. Waddles.
Future troopers are being sought in the state. The Wisconsin State Patrol is recruiting and accepting applications for both new hires and officers looking to transfer from their current departments. The agency says they have a number of different positions, including highway patrol, canine handling, and crash reconstruction. Paid training is provided at the State Patrol Academy in Fort McCoy. There's more on the State Patrol's social media pages.
The Tomah State Patrol office held an open house last week. New troopers are trained here in the area at Fort McCoy in Monroe County. Vehicle thefts are on the rise in La Crosse. The La Crosse Police Department said that through October 18th, there have been 10 stolen vehicles in the city, with 9 of those vehicles recovered. One other attempted break-in was reported as well. Police said that for most of the thefts, keys were left inside the vehicle. Thefts also seem to happen more around large events. Other tips to help prevent vehicle theft include locking your vehicle and keeping valuables out of sight or out of the vehicle, and of course, to take your keys with you. For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
The Bucks improve on defense. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks won their season opener last night in Philly, 124-109 over the 76ers. Head coach Doc Rivers very pleased with the effort on defense from Brooke Lopez and Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Our bigs protected the basket the entire night, and they made some tough shots. And you can see they were exhausted. You know, driving into the trees, that's exactly what we wanted.
The Bucks host the Bulls tomorrow night. NFL Packers head coach Matt LaFleur bringing in his best friend and former New York Jets head coach Robert Saleh to Green Bay. LaFleur says he wants the former 49ers defensive coordinator to review the Packers on offense this week. College football, the Badgers host number 3-ranked Penn State Saturday night. Now, the last time Wisconsin beat a top-ranked team at home was in 2010 when they defeated number 1-ranked Ohio State. Luke Fickell.
It's a night game. It's later in the day. We know there's going to create an environment that's going to be really exciting and fun. I think that's what we need to look at, not, hey, what are these guys ranked?
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Winds whipping out of the south today are shoving us to highs in the low 60s. Clouds are increasing this afternoon as a cold front approaches, bringing widespread rain of around a quarter of an inch. It'll push in this evening, but be gone by tomorrow. More sunshine will return with cooler highs in the upper 50s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 48.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now I know. Now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Donald Trump was in the great state of Michigan, my birth state, and he insulted Detroit.
Our whole country will end up being like Detroit if she's your president.
You're in Detroit, man! I would tell you, sir, we would only be so lucky if we had the mentality of people trying to do better for their cities, for small businesses moving in. There's a renaissance going on in the city of Detroit.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
We'll be here for a little weather and wine. 11:33, every other Thursday, he joins us, the Acme Packing Company sports guru, Paul Noonan. And we will wrap up the show as we always do now with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Visit North Korea edition.
Oh, okay.
I was going to call it Ski North Korea. That could be another.
Surf North Korea?
That could be too. It's North Korea edition. This thing was found by Calvin. It's a good one.
Okay.
And if you ever have had a thing that you feel should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. And just a reminder, early voting is underway across Wisconsin. Go cast your ballot. You can do that until November 3rd. Of course, if you want to vote in person, that will be November 5th. Either way, prepare to be patient.
Yes.
Because there have been a lot. Turnout for early voting has been huge, which is great.
Yesterday, I saw a stat that said 23.1 million Americans have already voted.
That's wonderful.
That is amazing.
That is amazing.
And keep your head up about it, too. Don't let yourself get bogged down by polls and, you know, polls of polls. And we're hearing
internal
from people.
Polls, and many people are saying, don't trust Stan and Dan's Integrity Polling America. Ignore the polls.
Yeah.
That's what I would suggest.
Get the word out. Talk to your friends. Make sure they're getting out to vote. Make sure they have a plan. If they have questions,
share what you know.
Share what you know. Do not get bogged down by the negativity, because we won't know anything until at least a few days after November 5th.
And we know that Wisconsin's tally will not be completed by midnight on November 5th.
Correct.
Because we are not allowed to count ballots early.
Yep. And no ballots, as far as I know, are being counted right now. They're all just sitting in a place waiting for November 5th to be open, run, and then tallied.
And then tallied, exactly. There is a constitutional amendment on the November ballots. We haven't talked about this probably nearly enough. Yet another attempt to change the definition of who gets to vote.
Yes.
So they want to change one word from every U.S. citizen to only U.S. citizens. Keep in mind that only U.S. citizens are allowed to vote right now. Mm-hmm. So this, again, is a solution in search of a problem.
Yep.
This is not a problem, but this essentially opens the door for them to narrow the definition of who will fit only a citizen. So I will be voting no. I would suggest you vote no on this constitutional amendment. And another one of the reasons why I'm going to vote no is because we haven't heard the normal backers just crowing about what a great thing this is, like Robin Voss and the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty and all the Republicans. They were all about the two constitutional amendments that just got defeated.
Yeah.
So it seems kind of suspect to me that we're not hearing from any of those same folks about how great this is and how necessary this is, almost like they would like to disassociate themselves from it.
Brian Schimming, are you out there? GOP, anybody? Nobody has an opinion on this yet?
No one wants to weigh in?
Are your opinions garbage? Is that why?
So I will be voting on the no on the constitutional amendment. If you would like a much more in-depth explanation, go to the Wisconsin, go to the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin. It's a great website. It's a wonderful resource. Yeah. And don't forget, too, our own website, civicmedia.us/vote, has not only the great Dan Schaefer compilation of all of the voting districts in Wisconsin, but all kinds of other voting-related articles and information.
It will lead you also to myvote.wi.gov,
right,
where you can check your voting. You can check your ballot status. You can check your polling place, your ballot. You can check who represents you. Call your representatives. Be nice.
Be nice, but call them.
Yeah.
They're working for us.
It's
ostensibly.
Like, it's a one-stop shop for democracy.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to spend a little time before Brittany Merlot joins us talking about House Republican from Wisconsin's 1st District, Brian Stile. Brian Stile appeared on Newsmax and criticized Vice President Kamala Harris for campaigning with, quote, out-of-state billionaire Mark Cuban.
Folks, I want you to take that information. Jane, say that one more time for the folks.
It's a strange technique, says Brian Stile, to bring in an out-of-state billionaire reading from an iPhone at a rally. Of course, Brian Stile talking about Kamala Harris's appearance with Mark Cuban.
Yeah.
I understand that he's a relatively successful businessman.
Very successful.
Is he?
Yes.
He didn't just inherit a whole bunch of money?
He's worked hard. He's doing things that he's making sure people get prescription drugs. He pays his taxes famously.
He does.
He showed, I think it was this year, he's like, here's my check to the government. And it was like $200 million.
Yeah, but he paid it.
He paid it. And I know people have their stuff about, you know, billionaires shouldn't exist and billionaires are awful. And I don't know how I feel about that personally, but he's at least one person who believes that democracy is more important than his checkbook, which, by the way, will be fine no matter what. But, Jane, it just seems weird that Brian Stile has a problem with Kamala Harris getting help from out-of-state billionaires. Because if I'm not mistaken, Donald Trump has had a guy on his stage.
Jumping up and down.
From what I understand, when he does that, he wants to look like the letter X.
Is that what he's trying to do?
Yeah, I just ruined your day, didn't I?
Oh, my God.
One Jabba the Musk, who is an out-of-state billionaire.
Yeah.
I just find it fascinating that Brian Stile is so just perplexed by Kamala, but yet has no opinion on Donald regarding
their
this
billionaire is different.
Yes.
Their billionaire is a good billionaire.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently Mark Cuban is a bad billionaire.
Muskie is all about the First and Second Amendment and America and weird cars. That's what Donald Trump loves. And that's what I guess what Brian Stile respects.
It is remarkable to me that they cannot identify the irony.
No, because
there is a complete lack of recognition of irony.
They do not have the ability to recognize it. Sarcasm isn't something they do well with. Humor isn't something they do well with. So when they say, I mean, that's why they can stand on stage and say, you know, one month they can say, we're going to do A. And then 2 months later, I say, we're going to do B, but I thought you said you were going to do A. I don't know what you're talking about. We're moving forward. Why are you looking back? Didn't you call Trump America's Hitler, J.D. Vance? I'm looking forward, everybody.
Right.
Pay no attention to the words I said behind me.
Brian Stile upset, criticizing Kamala Harris for appearing with Mark Cuban because he's an out-of-state billionaire.
How dare he?
But Elon Musk jumping around like an ex, okay, is that's that money is different. That's good billionaire money. Bill from Oconomowoc is on the line. Good morning, Bill. Thank you so much for joining us. What did you want to say? Hey, Bill, are you there? We'll give it one more try. Bill, can you hear me?
Hello, Bill.
Bill, you may want to call back in and give it another try. 855-752-4842. You can always leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Andrew from Maine on the text line, is Mark Cuban at least a U.S. citizen? I know that presidential candidates only care about Wisconsin. Mark Cuban is a U.S. citizen. Yes. Elon Musk is a U.S. citizen, too.
Yes, they're both U.S. citizens.
And so is Peter Thiel.
So is Peter Thiel. Speaking, though, of Elon Musk, you remember his little contest to get people to register to vote?
Oh, yeah, yeah. But that seems highly questionably legal.
Well, the Justice Department just warned him, according to CNN, that this giveaway to registered voters may be illegal.
Yeah, that sounds completely not on the up and up.
Because what happens is you have to you are putting your name on a petition that says that you support the First and Second Amendment. But in order to do that petition, which is part of the contest you get entered into, you have to register to vote. It's against federal law to pay people to register to vote.
Yes, it is.
So his $1 million a day contest he was going to try to put forth, the Justice Department has warned and said, yeah, this is not good. I'd love to see what Elon Musk has to say about this. I'm sure he'll have some wonderful knowledge. That's just, you know, they don't know what they're talking about. They're just the Justice Department. They're corrupt. When I get in there, I will cut it.
Well, and
I'll be Secretary of Cutting Costs.
Yes, and think about that. Donald Trump has actually suggested making Elon Musk the head of cost cutting because he likes the way that Elon Musk will fire people.
And hates to pay overtime.
Yes.
What do you want to bet, Jane? In a Trump second term, Elon's at the cabinet table having to say what he likes about Trump, as we said before, because that's what you have to do. How long does Elon Musk last in the cabinet?
Well, if he's enough of a sycophant, he'll be fine.
I think it'll come to a point where he's going to say something or do something that will... I give it less than 6 months.
Really?
Before he says something that Trump doesn't like, and then they start warring. They're both egomaniacs. They're both megalomaniacal.
That's true.
You can't have two of them in the room.
Well, I also think that there is a faction that believe that J.D. Vance is the ultimate goal.
Yes.
Getting Trump in there. So 6 months down the road, J.D. Vance, they can pull out the 25th Amendment.
Yep.
And say he's no longer fit to lead. We have seen Donald Trump decline in real time.
Mm-hmm.
Just over the last 6 months. And then we're going to have President Vance.
And Vice President Johnson.
Oh, yes.
Did I just ruin your day again?
Again, you're on a streak.
Sorry about that. Yeah, the presidential line of succession would give us President J.D. Vance and Vice President Michael Johnson.
If they hold the House.
If they hold the House, yes.
If they hold the House.
Of course.
Which, again, just reinforces how important all the down ballot races are.
And how your vote counts.
Yes, your vote counts. Talk to your friends. Make sure you have a plan. Vote, vote, vote.
Don't worry about polls.
Just once.
Yeah.
But vote.
Don't worry about polls. Don't worry about ads.
All right. Gonna do a little weather and wine when we return with Brittany Merlot. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the vast statewide, countrywide, global Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Liberal politician Kamala Harris wants to take your guns. She says it herself.
We have to have a buyback program, and I support a mandatory buyback program.
Mandatory buybacks? That's Washington speak for taking away your guns. More from Kamala.
Just because you legally possess a gun in your locked home doesn't mean that we're not going to walk into that home and check to see if you're being responsible.
Take Kamala at her word. Democrats will ban guns and take them from your home. And here in Wisconsin, congressional candidate Rebecca Cook is following in Kamala's footsteps. Rebecca Cook called for a ban on the most commonly owned rifle in the U.S. She even earned an F from the NRA. As a political operative, Cook spent the last decade working for Defund the Police Democrats. She'd defund police and take your guns. It's radical and it's dangerous. Liberal Rebecca Cook. She won't protect you. She won't let you protect your family.
I'm Derek Van Orden, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by the NRCC and Van Orden for Congress.
Moments like making my kids my famous meatballs mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You change just like the weather. But the weather you
good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and the Calvinator on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. She joins us once a week for a little weather and wine. Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here. Good morning, Brittany.
Good morning, Jane. How are you doing today?
We are good. I started to talk about this last hour as we were waiting for a guest and didn't really get to finish the entire thing. We are in new digs.
Yeah?
We have a new home. It. Yes, we are at Radio Park.
Radio Park.
Radio Park in Racine. If you live in Racine, you know it better as the WRJN studio building.
Yeah.
And this is a building that Civic Media owns. We were renting a spot when we were in Waukesha, and finally, our engineers worked their tails off to get this ready to go. So we moved in this week. We started broadcasting on Monday. You will notice the difference if you watch on the live stream. Certainly, we have much different visuals than we had before. And all of the panels we have stay on the walls now, which is such a nice thing.
And the lighting is beautiful.
It's just little things. It's just those little things, Brittany. So
that's it is, and you guys are looking sharp, just so you know.
Thank you so much. We're still hoping for new cameras that have those special magical filters on them that make you look like you're in heaven like Carrie Lake. But that's a discussion for another day. Let's talk a little weather. It's really dry.
It really is. And our drought conditions have only worsened in the past week. So we went up about 16% of an increase. It's spread. We're now at 77% of the state is considered in a drought.
Wow.
And the entire state is abnormally dry. And we're talking about the severe drought conditions. It went from 20% to 30% in just a week. So some really, really dry conditions, and the DNR, of course, releasing wildfire risks, and you don't want to be the one to spark that fire. But I'm just concerned with the fact that if we don't have moisture and we start to freeze over, that's all we have in the ground. That's it. And we restart in spring when it starts to melt. So
yeah. And if we don't get enough snow cover, then we're really going to be in a tough spot in spring.
Yeah. Yes, 100%. So that's why the drought matters so much. I know it could be boring for some people, but for a lot, it matters.
Well, and it's a good, valuable reminder. Now is not the time to be burning leaves. Now is not the time to be going out into the woods and starting a bonfire. And if you're a smoker, and I am a social pariah, I am a smoker, don't throw your cigarette butts out car windows. Not only is it environmentally bad, it does spark fires when we have conditions like this, and it just makes us all look like slobs. So stop it.
Stop looking at me.
So just stop it, fellow smokers. Stop it. We do have rain coming our way. That was my scoldy portion. What? My scoldy portion of the show.
We had to let her wear herself out and get her back. Oh, I hear there's going to be rain, though.
Yes, let's talk rain.
Yeah, so we do have some moving in tonight. It looks like it's going to be widespread across the entire state, really ramping up from about 9 to midnight tonight. We're looking at about a quarter of an inch. I want more.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice to get a little bit, but if we're that far behind, we have a ways to go.
We sure do. So there is a small chance that some of these showers could turn into some storms, which would create a little bit more out there. But really, we're not looking at over an inch. Not anywhere close to that. But when we look ahead, unfortunately, we have another storm that's headed our way next week on Wednesday and into Halloween. That one is going to produce a little bit more rainfall for us.
Those poor kids just can't, you know, it's like you got to cover up the princess costume again. And this time, you know, you need a raincoat instead of a parka. I guess that's better.
I guess. I guess it is. Yeah. Clear garbage bag or something like that. Like clear poncho. Then you can rep it.
So after next week and that rain comes through on Halloween, are we still looking at such moderate temperatures?
No, we're actually going to actually fall, start to actually sit where we should be. But before we get to Halloween, we're going to near 80 degrees on Tuesday in parts of the state.
Oh, my God.
Whoop, 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 everywhere.
And where is the 80? Is that going to be south?
Absolutely. But even further north, you're going to hit the mid-70s on Tuesday. Wild.
I put my shorts away. They're packed.
You packed them up?
They're packed. They're done.
We're not going back. Let's talk about the Asian beetles.
Oh, my goodness. I have been attacked, dive-bombed, attacked by these things outside, inside, everywhere. And so I had to do my research. I thought they were ladybugs. They're not.
No, they're not.
Oh, no, they're not.
Because they're orange. Because ladybugs are red, like red, 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 yeah. Versus these things that are like orange. And they're like, I'm here too to have fun. And they're gross.
They're so gross. They bite.
They do bite.
They have a stench. Their defense mechanism, they'll like bleed from their joints. And this stinks and it could stain things. So you definitely want to clean the area wherever they were or are, because they'll actually leave a pheromone behind and they'll come right back to that area next year.
Interesting.
In 3 years.
Wow. Well, and everybody, all the bugs are trying to get inside now.
They sure are.
Right.
And they love the sunshine. They love the heat. And these are the Halloween beetles. That's what they're called, because one, they're dressing in disguise like a ladybug.
Interesting.
And then they also, yeah, it's October. This is their month. They're always feeding on corn and soybeans. So when the farmers harvest, they go to us.
Smorgasbord. Mm-hmm. Smorgasbord for the Asian beetles. In the time that we have left, Rib Mountain is going to be making some changes. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, they are. So they're trying to make more mountain bike trails and all season trails, because they're noticing and they've done research that climate change is real and it's happening. And the snow and skiable days on Granite Peak are going to become more limited. I mean, we're already shaving off the early season and the late season with these warmer temperatures. And down the road, you know, they want to make it attraction for everyone. So they're already making changes for that. And especially after last winter, our snowmobile trails didn't open. We didn't have anything but Granite Peak with snow because they were able to make snow.
That's really smart thinking. And, you know, we've talked to the folks at the Iditarod, too. I'm sorry, not the Iditarod, the Berkey. And they're having to make adjustments, too, because this is reality. Climate change is actually a thing. She is Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot joining us for a little weather and wine. Thank you so very much, Brittany. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Stay close. News is next. When we come back, the Acme Packing Company sports guru Paul Noonan will be here. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The new drought monitor released today shows expanding drought in Wisconsin, with now over 77% of the state in drought. That includes all of the Cooley region in moderate drought. The dry conditions have also increased wildfire risks. For more on that, here's Civic Media's Brittany Merlot.
There have been 73 wildfires across Wisconsin in the past week, burning a total of 926 acres. One spark, even as small as a cigarette butt, can start a fire. With high winds and dry conditions, the fire danger is very high, especially in central and northeast areas again today. With some much-needed rain on the way tonight, it should put a dent in drought conditions. Currently, 64% of the state is in a drought, with 20% at severe status. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The forecast does call for slight chances of precipitation, but not enough to erase a 2 to 5 inch rainfall deficit here in western Wisconsin since August. A grant is now available for developers in La Crosse County to help revitalize properties. $400,000 is available for developers who would demolish existing buildings to make way for new housing. Up to $50,000 can be awarded for single-family home projects, and up to $100,000 can be applied for if the developer is planning on building a multifamily building. The program has sent out over $2.3 million since it was created back in 2016, with projects spanning the county. The Buffalo County Sheriff's Office is investigating a death in Fountain City. According to a release, the Sheriff's Office said they found the body of a 57-year-old woman at a home in Fountain City yesterday when they were called to the home and spoke to another resident. State and county investigators said that there is no threat to the public. An autopsy is being done today. The investigation is being done by both the Buffalo County Sheriff's Office and the Division of Criminal Investigation at the Wisconsin Department of Justice. Take Civic Media with you anywhere you go. Download the free app today on your device's app store or at civicmedia.us/app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Tis the season. Stephen King's novel Carrie is about to hit the little screen. Prime Video has announced that Mike Flanagan will turn King's novel into an 8-episode series. Flanagan has worked on other King stories, including Dr. Sleep, which was the sequel to The Shining. Carrie is the novel that put King on the map back in 1974. It was turned into a feature film in 1976. It's a great time of year to check out anything by Stephen King. In addition to horror films, there have been a slew of animated films released this year that impressed both critics and theater owners. IndieWire just released its Oscar predictions for Best Animated Feature, and Pixar Disney's Inside Out 2 is the odds-on favorite for Best Picture. The film made $1.6 billion worldwide. It is the highest-grossing animation film of all time. Other contenders include DreamWorks' The Wild Robot and Sideshow's Flow. Great recommendations for this weekend if you're done with the scares. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Winds whipping out of the south today are shoving us to highs in the low 60s. Clouds are increasing this afternoon as a cold front approaches, bringing widespread rain of around a quarter of an inch. It'll push in this evening but be gone by tomorrow. More sunshine will return with cooler highs in the upper 50s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 51 degrees.
This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year. But Vice President Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action, www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, we'll dive into Kamala Harris's policies with Earl Ingram. Plus, are GOP polls rigging the averages in favor of Trump? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
The Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our home, Radio Park, here in Racine. You can always join us. You can call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He joins us every other Thursday at this time to talk all things sports, the Acme Packing Company sports guru, Paul Noonan, joining us on the phone today. Good morning, Paul. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We are well. Thank you for joining us. I know you're on the road and you're carving out a little time for us. Appreciate it. So the Bucks open the regular season at Philly, correct?
That's right. They opened at Philly. They honestly played a great game. I do feel like the Bucks often start, well, not last year because of the coaching thing, but they start strong. They're an older team. It's the healthiest they tend to be all season. But I think it was a really encouraging victory. The 76ers are, they're not in good shape right now at all. They're missing a couple of their best players and are really not a good team at the moment. But the Bucks bumped them. And you can't really ask for more than that. Particularly impressive, Damian Lillard, who you know was very up and down last season, looked fantastic and actually looked like he was in quite a bit better shape. I think in the offseason he really got himself back to where he was to some extent, and hopefully that translates out throughout the whole season. Giannis was good. Honestly, as a first Bucks game, I don't think you could ask for much more than this.
That's hopeful.
Yeah.
I mean, again, the basketball season is a pretty long season, too.
Yes.
Calvin, you want to chime in on this?
Yeah. So I will openly admit that I'm a box score watcher, but I did notice that Giannis was able to constrain himself to not shoot a three-pointer. And as a exasperated fan, I always get up. He shoots three-pointers. Do you think maybe that's something that Doc Rivers has finally gotten through his head, that he doesn't have to shoot the three-pointers?
I am with you 100% on that, and I think it may very well be the case. It's one of those things where I feel like it was a fun experiment when he first started doing it, but it's not an efficient shot for him. And the one thing that has become abundantly clear about Giannis shooting threes is it doesn't open the middle for him, because nobody defending Giannis cares if he takes a three. Everybody's happy if he takes a three. So hopefully Doc did get that through his head, that he'll be much more effective, kicking it out to much better three-point shooters, which he does have on the team. So hopefully that does go away. It is definitely a bit of a sore spot, and it is honestly forcing a Giannis three is one of the best ways to shut the Bucks offense down.
Is that just ego on Giannis's part?
I mean, probably a little bit, because every professional athlete has that kind of ego. But I also think it was originally a legitimate attempt to add it to his game. Big men in the NBA do shoot threes effectively in the modern game. It's not impossible to develop a new shot later in life. But, you know, it's been a long-standing experiment to this point. It's clearly not going to work. So continuing it for as long as it went, I think, was probably some ego, yes.
If you were going to get that game probably would have been got by now.
That's exactly correct. It is developing new skills is more of a young man's game. And, you know, Giannis was a young man for a long time, but he's not anymore.
Oh, man. So my three-point game is out the window then, I guess. All right, cool.
Maybe aim for something else, Greg.
Yeah, I'm strictly a down-low player myself. So I'm with all of you on that.
Calvin?
Yeah, I guess the last thing I would want to ask about is, so all offseason, I had thought I'd been hearing that, okay, Chris Middleton's back on track, he's going to be healthy, and he seemed to have missed, he missed game one. Do you think he's going to be out for a considerable amount of time, or do you think this is going to be, once he's back, he's going to be good?
What I hear about Chris Middleton is that he will be back somewhat soon. I personally am pretty skeptical of that. I think so. Chris Middleton's injuries are his ankles. He has bad ankles. They were exacerbated during the championship runs in playing, I think, too much basketball during the Olympics as well. And just that is an injury that doesn't tend to come all the way back ever. I love Chris Middleton. I think he's a fantastic player. And I hope modern rehab does a number on him and he comes back, you know, at least like 90% of what he was in the past. But I think that there's a halfway decent chance that he, A, does not come back as quickly as people think, and B, is never really the same player. It's just not a good injury to have. So I'm skeptical about Middleton contributing that much this year. Hopefully does, but I won't be surprised if he doesn't. That's just a bad basketball injury. Kind of reminds me of how Kevin McHale kind of lost his elite play for the Celtics way back when, and turned into a great sixth man, but was never the same dominant player he was. He had similar kind of foot problems, and those are not fun.
If you're just joining us, our guest is the Acme Packing Company sports guru. Paul Noonan is here to talk all things sports.
By the looks of it, everything on Twitter, they're going to win the championship now based on their first game.
That was quick.
Yeah, I know.
Twitter's great at that, isn't it?
Yeah, it made me feel really confident.
Rushingly down.
Let's move on to the Packers, Paul. The Packers moved to 5-2 in what has become the best division in football with that win over Houston.
Yep. They look quite good. The only, I think, current knock on the Packers is Jordan Love is still throwing a little bit too many interceptions. And he did have two on Sunday. I was actually at the game on Sunday, had a really good view of the first one. But it almost hasn't mattered. Their offense has been incredibly efficient in spite of him turning the ball over quite a bit. If he can cut it down even a little bit, they will instantly be one of the best offenses in football. But I think more importantly, their defense has been phenomenal. And we don't get to say that about the Packers very often. It's been a while since we've had a defense that was anything close to phenomenal. Jeff Hafley, my hope for him was their new defensive coordinator. My hope was just that he was average. I just wanted average. I'm not reaching for the moon on that. And he appears to be quite a bit better than that. It looks like he is taking a number from a lot of what Minnesota's defensive coordinator Brian Flores does, being very unpredictable. But more than anything, they seem to have hit on another star safety to pair with Xavier McKinney in rookie Evan Williams, who has put together like three incredible safety games in a row. It just gives them a lot of flexibility in front of those guys to do a lot of fun concepts because they're always protected in the back. So the Packers look great. They have a couple little problems they can iron out. If we want to talk about the kicker, we can. They signed Brandon McManus before this game, who is a pretty good NFL kicker who has had off the field problems. Of a not that great sort. They're in terms of pure football, they're really in good shape going forward. They play a terrible team this week, and they're going to have a really nice record heading into the second half.
Well, now you can't just say that, Paul,
away. Drop something Let's like that, Paul.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
So, Brad, it's just, people should know this, honestly. It's the reason Brandon McManus wasn't on the team. So Brandon McManus was accused of sexually harassing two flight attendants on Jacksonville team plane when he was a member of the Jacksonville Jaguars. That suit was originally filed with those flight attendants listing themselves as anonymous. The judge did not allow that to happen, and I think McManus's camp was hoping that would end it. It did not. They filed it in a non-anonymous refiling of that complaint. That was active until the day before the Packers signed him, at which point, according to McManus's attorney, it was either settled or dismissed. I'm pretty sure I have not been able to confirm that, by the way, and I checked legal stuff. It appears to be over one way or another, but it happened. And I have heard from people who know Brandon McManus that at the very least he is not a nice person, certainly a creep. And so everybody else listening can make their own decisions about how you feel about that. So that is the Brandon McManus story in a nutshell, and that is their kicker at the moment.
I'm so disappointed, and I know I shouldn't be, Paul, but I just thought that the NFL was going to try and do a better job as far as players who are accused of sexual assault and things like that. And there was a big push a couple of years ago, and now, again, it's just kind of like, yeah, well, it's, he's a good kicker, so whatever.
There was a push, and then we had to avert our attention to other things, and they're like, are they looking anymore? That's fine. All right, go back to what you're doing.
That's how it feels.
It's truly what it is.
It really is, and I'm honestly not sure the NFL even knows what to do to maintain any kind of consistency on punishment. I mean, one of the big problems they have is, it's not a problem anymore, actually, but Cleveland's quarterback, Deshaun Watson, is a serial assaulter of massage therapists. And he was punished, but he served it and came back, and the Browns gave him a giant guaranteed contract. He's out for the year, by the way. Good riddance. But they have just a lot of people in the league who they did punish but just come back and then are around forever. And so even though maybe they should punish more, maybe they should be quicker to ban people, but I don't think they know how to handle this problem.
I don't know.
It is a stain on the league.
Try some therapy, my guys. Come on.
Yeah.
Seriously, bring in a team psychologist or something and sit these guys down and talk about what is appropriate behavior.
I say get them some therapy after you throw them out of the league, because this is just, it's disgusting.
It's making me, now I'm getting angry. Calvin?
Yeah, I was just going to say a comment on the Deshaun Watson situation. When he went down on Sunday, now I'm not going to credit the Browns fan base as being this like pro woman fan base, because he's been playing really bad, but they cheered when he got hurt. And
they did.
It sounds really terrible, because I don't think it's something you should do, but I've been wanting him to get hurt for a really long time. And just hearing his teammates stick up for him is really kind of disappointing to me, because it's like,
yeah.
Were you not paying attention, or are you being willfully ignorant?
It just not matter to you?
Yeah, precisely. Yeah.
I mean, we see that in all forms of, I don't want to call it football entertainment, but I see comedians who stick up for other comedians who got allegations, musicians, actors. He's a good guy. It's not as bad as you think it is. Well, now I think it's worse.
Well, it will be interesting to see what happens there.
Yeah.
Moving forward. In the time we have left, Paul, let's talk World Series. In the notes you said, yeah, big money teams, bah humbug, phooey.
Yeah, I mean.
Who cares?
Who cares is right. I know that baseball in a vacuum likes it when it's the Yankees and Dodgers because of the major markets involved, and baseball has become a regional sport. But it's just so boring. And it's not like the Yankees have been perennial World Series people lately either. So they're kind of back to new. But the Yankees are boring just by their nature. Now, both teams do feature great players. And, like, I'm glad Shohei Ohtani is in the World Series. But I just wish that there would be more breakthrough teams in baseball. And I feel like baseball has gone out of its way to make sure that doesn't happen. The worst thing you can get in a sport is it being predictable on the championship level. And I don't know. I mean, our other option on the national side is the Mets, which, you know, that's not really any better. it's a very standard World Series. And you know, I personally kind of checked out after the Brewers lost, because I expected this to happen at that point. And
yeah,
it did. So
the outcome's almost
going. I wish it was more exciting.
Yeah, outcome's almost predetermined, Calvin.
Yeah, and I'll concede to not being really a big baseball fan, but one thing I just don't understand is not having a salary cap. All the other major sports leagues have a salary cap that in the NFL and the NBA, I think both have proven to create much more parity. So I don't know why baseball is behind the times on that.
They're not great at being on the times in their history. They're slow.
They are very, very steeped in tradition.
Yeah.
That will take me an extra 20 minutes of time I don't have here to explain that. But there's actually a reason for it, which is a lot of baseball money comes through some semi-connected subsidiaries like parking revenue and catering revenue from the park. And like Major League Baseball invented sports streaming service through this company called BAM that they don't count as revenue that goes to the actual teams.
Paul Noonan is with the Acme Packing Company. He joins us every other Thursday to talk all things sports. Thank you, Paul. We will see you in a couple weeks. Stay close. We're going to wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Visit North Korea edition. This is Matt Nair on air on the vast statewide, countrywide, global Civic Media Radio Network.
Eagle, 1490 AM.
Liberal politician Kamala Harris wants to take your guns. She says it herself. We have to have a buyback program, and I support a mandatory buyback program.
Mandatory buybacks? That's Washington speak for taking away your guns. More from Kamala.
Just because you legally possess a gun in your locked home doesn't mean that we're not going to walk into that home and check to see if you're being responsible.
Take Kamala at her word. Democrats will ban guns and take them from your home. And here in Wisconsin, congressional candidate Rebecca Cook is following in Kamala's footsteps. Rebecca Cook called for a ban on the most commonly owned rifle in the U.S. She even earned an F from the NRA. As a political operative, Cook spent the last decade working for Defund the Police Democrats. She'd defund police and take your guns. It's radical and it's dangerous. Liberal Rebecca Cook. She won't protect you. She won't let you protect your family.
I'm Derek Van Orden, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by the NRCC and Van Orden for Congress.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Kelby on the board. Coming to you from our home radio park here in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform Jabba the Musk hates that we continue to call Twitter. Just a reminder, early voting is underway. So go cast your ballot. Otherwise, make a plan for November 5th. We're only 12 days away. Only 12 days to go, folks. We can do this. All gas, no brakes. We got this. My favor I ask of you is try and stay focused and stay away from all the negativity.
Yes.
And stay away from Stan and Fran's America Integrity Polling Project, which just got formed last week.
Yeah.
Stay away from the polls. And just try and stay positive.
Not even your favorite news outlet knows everything.
Right
now, those votes are being banked. They are being stored. They will be released, counted, tallied on Tuesday, if not Wednesday of that week. Just stay positive.
Stay positive. Yeah. And there are still things to do. You can still knock on doors. You can still canvas. You can still phone bank. You can still share what you know with people in your circle.
Yes.
Share what you know about what's at stake on this for this election, including the constitutional amendment that's going to be on the ballot for Wisconsin for November 5th. They want to change one word. They want to change it from every U.S. citizen can vote to only U.S. citizens can vote. That already exists. Only U.S. citizens can vote. But this is a way to open the door to narrowing that definition.
Yeah. Yeah.
And make it even more difficult instead of easier for people to exercise their right to vote. So I will be voting no.
Really quick here, just an exclusive published on Civic Media by Dan Schaefer. Robert Cowles, state senator from Green Bay, Republican endorsing Kamala Harris. Another one. Just seeing more and more and more. What does that say to you people?
It seems like a good sign.
Yep.
It seems like a good sign. But again, 12 days to go. Stay focused. Stay positive. and make sure you share what you know. Yep. All right, it is 11:54. That means it is time for...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Today's This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Visit North Korea edition, found by Calvin. If you ever have a thing that shouldn't be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. Calvin, what you got?
Yeah, so this has been over the course of a few months. I've stumbled across several TikToks featuring people that appear to be in North Korea.
Americans.
Americans, yes. Americans that appear to be in North Korea, and they have captions like that the American government's lying to you. North Korea is a great place to live. Like, they're paying for my apartment and I have included health care and like child care is included and all this like very deliberate propaganda. And I will admit to being a little bit of a boomer on this, I guess. Because I never made it to the end of all these slides, so I never realized they were selling something. I just thought
was
they
this
were,
all
like,
a product pitch?
They were apparently. So I found this article. It's from a Substack by someone named Taylor Lorenz. She wrote, "TikTokers are spreading North Korean propaganda to sell supplements." So apparently, and this is where it comes in where I feel like a boomer. Apparently, these Americans, the photos of the Americans in North Korea are AI generated, which seems so obvious to me now, but it never even crossed my mind. And they all seem to lead to, at the end, them promoting a certain brand of supplement, and it's a liposomal nicotinamide riboside.
Rolls right off the tongue.
NAD plus.
I mean,
so this is a magical supplement.
Yes, apparently. And apparently the author in this Substack article talked to some marketing people, and they're assuming it's just like engagement bait is why they used North Korea, but it's extremely odd.
Well, unless North Korea and Kim Jong-un has started this big push for people to move there, I mean...
So here's the weird thing.
That's not weird.
Is that I could see Kim Jong-un saying, bring me a few Americans. Let them live the life. Pay for their housing. Pay for their... Like, I could see him doing that just to stick a finger in the eye of America. Look, they're happy. Why are you so upset with us? We live a great life. I've been telling my grandfather has been telling you this for decades.
Well, if you decide to visit North Korea,
just
let us know how it goes when you get back.
I mean, I don't want to like discourage travel or yuck anyone's yum, but don't go there.
I'd be careful about going there. And that wraps up today's edition of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
We're always interested in things that should not be, so send them in to janesays@civicmedia.us, JaneSays, janesays@civicmedia.us. Dan Schaefer will be with us tomorrow at 11 o'clock for some recombobulation. We'll see how he is feeling as we are getting closer and closer to Election Day, 12 days away. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers and everyone across Civic. Without you guys, nothing works. Thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you get the chance to share it. News coming up next, followed by Todd Alba. Stay right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Maggie Dawn.
Next, Tom Polsiewicz and I dig into John Kelly's blockbuster New York Times interview. We've got the clips from the interview. Donald Trump fully bear-hugging Adolf Hitler. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
The Todd Alba Show.
Either Donald Trump or Kamala Harris is going to win this race. Don't be the person saying, I agree with Kamala Harris on 80%, but I was really ticked off about X. I wanted to send her a message, so I didn't vote, or I voted for someone else. And then you get Trump, and people are going to say, you can't have a national abortion ban. They have to listen to us. We're the people. It'll be too late. Your vote is powerful. Do not waste it.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.